Welcome to this meeting of the Exmouth Town Council Planning Committee on Monday the 25th of September. First item on the agenda is apologies for absence. We have apologies from Councillor David Poore, Joe Nicholas and Andrew Coleman. That's it, I think, isn't it? We don't have any more, do we? No? Okay. We have no public speakers. Item number two is to confirm the minutes of the meeting held on the 11th of September. Does anybody have any comment on those minutes at all? Would anybody like to propose that we thank you, Mike? Anybody like to second? Thank you, Tim. So we have a proposal and a second there to accept the notes in minutes. All those in favour? That's unanimous. Okay, item number three is declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensations. Members are to declare any interest they may have on the agenda and agree any dispensations to stay. Does anybody have any declarations of interest at all tonight? I don't think I do. I'll let you know if I do.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I do. So the next item, urgent business. We have a payment licence application to consider. I know Anna reasonably well and have accepted money for musical performance from her in the past.
Okay. Are you also on licensing at East Devon?
And I'm also on licensing at East Devon, which is very much missed. So when it came to East Devon and we were asked about it, I just said, I'm stepping back from that. So. I think it's difficult because most people do. So urgent business is to consider the notification of a pavement licence application for Anna Fitzgerald for the Sea Dog Art Gallery. Outside the Sea Dog Art Gallery, just over there on the roundabout, or for the benefit of the tape, Templewind, Beacon Hill. The time and days requested is Monday to Sunday, 10 till 10. And the licence is sought from the start of October to be renewed at the end of September next year. The applications for pavement licence outside of the premises, it is pretty much as the tables are out there at the moment. I am not entirely certain if Anna was aware she needed a licence, hence the reason for this application. Does anybody, I mean, I guess, I shouldn't comment, but does anybody have any comments to make on that? But we don't have to comment, we can just, you know. So, Councillor Beattie?
Just the obvious question is if it's contained where it is at the moment, I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah.
But just how you stop the spread of these things going forward. So if there's a limitation on it, I think that's fine.
Yeah, the application's got a drawing, and it has to stick within that, and there are dimensions on there, so it will be as it is.
Otherwise, no problem.
Any other comments at all? No? So we don't really... Do we need to comment? We don't need to comment. No, that's fine. Thank you very much. So we move to tree and advertising consent applications. 10 Sherwood, Brixington, and 10 Sherwood Drive. The proposal is this is application 231646 tree. The proposal for T2 and T3 silver birches to reduce the height of the trees by 4 metres to previous pruning points, maximum diameter cuts of less than 200 millimetres.
We haven't had a tree report,
so the target date is the 5th of October.
We were just saying that the one that we deferred last time, we still haven't had the tree officer's report for that, so we think there are some capacity issues at East Devon, but we obviously can't determine them until we've got the tree officer's report, so this one I think we'll have to defer again.
Mm.
And we will continue to chase.
Because East Devon, although we have a target date, East Devon won't be making a decision before they get it either, will they? So. And if you need to, you can email us and we can do it.
Yeah.
Do it that way.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Can I?
Yeah, Councillor
Tidwell. Yeah, just raising a quick issue then. If we go on with this kind of delay, would we be done for non-determination if we didn't determine.
I think that would be hard to. I mean, it's East Devon that issued the decision notices.
Yeah.
Then if the delay was due to, you know,
their staff.
If it's due to their capacity issues, then I think they'd be hard pressed to ask that one to us. Yeah.
We are just consultee, aren't we?
No, for tree applications, we are the determining body, although we don't issue the decision notices.
That's a confuse, isn't it?
I mean, when we took it on years and years ago, we were sort of warned that there were some legal implications of us taking on that delegated responsibility. And the implications for non-determination were that any costs associated with any legal action or whatever could come to us. But I think, you know, we've always relied on tree officer reports from the district, and if those tree officer reports haven't arrived with us, then we don't employ our own tree officer, we rely on the tree officer from the district council. So that's what Tim was asking about.
Is it worth checking?
Oh, well, I think we can. Yeah, we can have a conversation in the next couple of days.
Just saying we're a little concerned about that. Okay. So, Anna, before I read all of this, have we got the tree officer's report for this one?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Right. So we move to planning application, Silly Brexington, 23-1766 Tree, 123 St John's Road. The proposal is G2A1, crown lift is 6.5 metres above ground level by removing two branches back to the mother branch. G2O1, crown lift to 4 metres above ground level by removing three branches back to the trunk. G2O2, crown lift to 4 metres above ground level by removing one branch back to the mother branch. G205, crown lift to 5.5 metres above ground level by removing one branch back to the trunk. G209, crown lift to 2.5 metres above ground level by removing three branches back. G102, to crown lift to 3.5 metres above ground level by removing one branch back. G103, a crown lift to 4.5 metres above ground level by removing one branch back to the trunk and two smaller branches back to the mother branch. Doesn't actually say what sort of tree they are, but hey. The tree officer's report has been circulated and recommends approval. Councillor Laura Bailey.
Yes, I approve as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
I think they're oak trees mostly.
Yeah, they're quite big, aren't they, from the looks of that. I'm happy to second that from the Chair, so the proposal is seconded for approval. All those in favour? Thank you very much, folks. We now move to Halston. Planning application 23-1774 tree. The Seagulls, 2235B Exeter Road. T1 is in Monterey Cypress. They would like to install a static wire rope brace rated to at least 5,000 kilograms, 3 to 4 meters above the top of the union. Reduce the lowest limb to the west by 2 to 3 meters, making pruning cuts of up to 75 millimeters in diameter. But we do not have a tree officer's report. That might actually fall before the next, after the next meeting.
It's the day of the next meeting.
Are we happy to remember the tree officer's report? So we'll leave that one and hopefully discuss it then when we may have one. Okay, so now move to Littleham. Planning application 23-1705 tree, Montpellier Court, Montpellier Road. A T5U fell to the ground and removed the stump. The tree officer's report has been circulated and is and recommends approval, subject to a replacement being planted. And Councillor David Paul has no objection. Councillor Graham DT.
No objection to T5 being removed. Thank you. If I may have a question after.
Yeah.
I spoke, please.
Councillor Mike Rosser.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Just my own education as much as anything. The reason for the tree being moved is because of the effect on the stone wall, which is going to be replaced by cement brick wall, I understand. Do they have to have planning permission for that sort of structure? This is me asking out of ignorance. It's not really for minutes, but I'll take this opportunity. I don't know whether it's an historic stone wall or whether it's a modern one that's just can be replaced by brick and cement. I don't know. So it's not really for the minutes, but get my education, please.
So unless it's in a conservation area, the building's listed, or it's above a certain height, then it would just be
Thank
development.
Just the question that came to mind after.
If it was in a conservation area or the building was listed, then they'd have to apply for planning permission, probably. But otherwise, it's if it's below a certain height, it would just be for
development. That's kind of me, thank you.
Oh, might as well seem a silly question. Because I ask many of them, don't
Drake's garden we haven't gone.
Right, okay. I don't think we've actually voted on that, haven't we? On the little one yet. So we have a proposal and a seconder in favour of approval. All those in favour, thank you very much. And with it, we haven't got the three officers' report. So this is 23177 Tree, 7 Drake's Garden. Three English oaks to remove to the ground level and treat the stumps to prevent regrowth. That sounds quite drastic, and then the three officers report. So, and that again should fall just on the day of the next meeting. So I think if we leave that one, we'll look over that.
Cool.
Thank you very much. So now, we now move to planning applications, Brixington. Planning application 23177 full. Do we have a conflict of interest here? No, I don't know Julie Rhodes. Okay. Bystock Court, Old Bystock Drive. The proposal is for four cottages. It's a revised version of a previous application, 21579 full, which was withdrawn. The county highways have been consulted but haven't commented, which is unusual. East Devon Trees have been consulted but they haven't commented, and neither have the conservation team. This is Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EN1, which is proposals for development within the built area boundary generally supported. For those outside, they'll be permitted where they're in accordance with specific policy within the Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan, or where absent policy or site-specific allocations are contained within the East Devon local plan. They'll be permitted where it doesn't harm the landscape, amenity and environmental qualities, including landform, important natural and man-made features which contribute to the local landscape and character, including topography, traditional field boundaries, areas of importance for conservation and rural buildings, or where it disrupts the public view. The following sites have been identified as locally important and distinctive areas outside the built-up area boundary, where only minor proposals associated with existing residential or business premises are likely to be supported. So one of those is the Marley area north of Goodmoors, and the second one, which I believe is relevant to this, is the Bystock House Estate. So they've been identified as important and distinctive, where any minor proposals are likely to be supported. Am I correct in suggesting they're the same places?
Yeah, it's because the relevance is because it's outside the built-up area of the entry. Yeah.
But that is the place that we're talking about. Right, okay. And the other one is EB2, which you'll be surprised to learn, that the development should be mindful of surrounding building styles and ensure a high level of design, as exemplified by the avenue's design statement. Councillor David Paul has no objection. He did have concerns about an inappropriate development for the area, but understands the buildings are for staff and will be behind the gate. And we suggest a condition to stop the houses being effectively sold off at a later date. Where are we with Brixton from? Councillor Laura Ray.
I see on the plan that
the four cottages they want to build, they're right on the trees there, aren't they? But number four is not on the trees, I think it is. If it's fine with everybody else, yeah. I think it's all right. I just wondered, it's a bit in the trees, that was all.
Okay. So. Yeah. Does anybody else wish to comment?
Thank you, Chair.
Yeah.
Councillor Moderator.
Yeah, I think quite hear what you were saying. It's outside the urban area, isn't it? And then the applicant said they needed to start. I think that's a question. Why you can't start? I mean, this is the 300 new houses that's been built down the road. I've got a guy lodging with me who works there. I don't see the need for these houses. They provide a borough cultural assessment. I think that needs to be looked at by the tree officer. A lot of the trees up there are ash, but I had a quick look, and I mean, I'm no tree expert, but they look fairly healthy to me. I think the other thing is if this is allowed, it's setting a precedent. So future applications for more housing on the estate, precedent's been set, how is that going to be stopped? So I'm opposed to it.
Okay, does anybody else have any comments at all? Because the problem that I'm having when I look at this, I'm speaking just as a member of the committee now rather than the chair, is that in our neighbourhood plan, it says following sites have been identified as locally important and distinctive areas where only minor proposals associated with existing residential or business premises are likely to be supported. And in that list it includes the Bystock House estate. Now, if the buildings are for staff, you could argue that that is associated with business premises, but then what the buildings are to be used for aren't necessarily a planning consideration, are they? So if we're sticking to what our neighbourhood plan says, I can't. It's whether or not we how much importance we put this, and we're trying to put as much importance to the neighbourhood plan as possible. That's my thoughts.
I think what's also quite interesting is that when the previous application came forward for Caretaker's Lodge, there was quite a lot of, not a massive amount, but there were some neighbourly, some neighbours and comments about the impact it was going to have on the historic setting of the estate. We haven't got any comments on this yet. To judge sort of neighbourly sentiment, that was a concern about the extent to which it was going to undermine the historic setting of that estate.
Just to ask, I assume it's within that conservation area up there as well, is it?
Conservation have been consulted,
yeah.
So yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say so.
Yeah, but they haven't yet come back.
They haven't commented. No.
They. I think they commented on the last application. I don't know if it's worth looking at that. 2015-79.
Trying to pull it up through here.
I'm just going to have a look, see if any comments from the previous application.
Nothing in there, commented.
So that one, the caretaker's lodge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just while you're looking, I mean, there were loads of cars parked up there, I don't know if they were staff or. I looked at the CQR report and they talk about it being an agency providing domiciliary care for supported housing. I don't quite know what's going on up there.
Yeah, there's there's been a few applications, I think, and it has become rather confusing. But yeah, I remember that. It was.
If it's just I need to speak to the guy there who works up there and find out a bit more.
It's a difficult
if
one.
If you are planning to do another inspection.
It's a difficult one as well because how do I put this? No, I don't know.
So, in respect of the application for the caretaker's lodge, it did say there are two areas of concern relating to the impact of the proposed new development on the designated heritage asset. Firstly, the visual impact on the setting of Bystock Court, and secondly, the impact on the contribution that the setting makes to the significance and understanding and interpretation of the heritage asset. So in respect of the prior application, it said it's appreciated that the existing trees and mature vegetation screen the main house, but this is part of the deliberately planned entrance drive. And there were concerns for that application that there didn't seem to be any assessment of the grounds or the wider estate, how this contributes to the setting and significance of the principal building that are referred to in the listing of the house. And the proposed dwellings fail to understand the overall setting and significance of the principal building and to take into account the historical development and interpretation of the site, including the loss of some mature trees, etc. But I don't know, you know, how relevant that is to this application. I'm not sure.
I mean, on the basis of what we have, what do people think? Because we have a proposal for acceptance or no objection, a proposal for
objection.
Okay. How do people feel?
I support the objection.
So that would be on the grounds of what?
Detrimental impact
detrimental
on the heritage
impact.
Asset.
It doesn't. I mean, this in the application they say it's full of staff. Well, all those cars up there are for staff. I mean, they need to build a whole housing estate to accommodate all this stuff. It's just
that's it's not really a material planning concern, is it?
And I was going to say,
Yeah,
we're not living in a feudal society anymore, where people are required to provide all their service and their living.
So it's not like there's a big boss man out there telling everybody what to do.
Possibly not.
No.
Maybe you know better.
Okay. And also, if you could mention the neighbourhood plan as well, because
yeah,
we want to as much as we can.
Yeah.
So that is EN1.3.
It could be EB1 as well, I'm wondering, because it's saying about heritage assets in that policy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think we might add that one in.
So we do have a proposal and a seconder for objection. All those in favour? Thank you, that's unanimous. Are we all right with all those reasons and everything? You might say something.
Yeah.
After some of that. Okay, that's cool. Thank you. Planning application 23, Slid Brixton, 23-1906 full, 8 Brixton Drive, a raised terrace to the rear of the house. We have no comments from statutory consultees and no representations. This is Exmouth Neighbourhood Planning Policy EB2. Councillor Rorabaini.
No objection, thank you, Chair. They're already there, they're just going to put a piece on the end and they're not, it seems right. Thank you, Chair.
Cool. I'm happy to second that from the Chair. So, proposing a second before no objection. All those in favour? Thank you very much. We now move to Halston. Excuse me, planning application 23-1684 full, 74A Byron Way. Right, it's very pleasing. The applicant is Mr. Benedict Cambridge. The proposal is to demolish the converted garage and construct a single dwelling with a driveway. Highways have been consulted but haven't commented. There are no representations, and again, this is excellent neighbourhood plan policy EB2. That development must take into account surrounding building styles, etc. Councillor Tim Dunbar.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I had a look at plans for this, and while I'm reasonably comfortable with it because they're using very similar materials for their development, I'm not comfortable with either the scale and the infill of the thing, or with the possibility of issues about parking now, and whether they will end up parking on the road, because I know that bit of road is just after the narrowing down of the chicane, little chicane narrowing of road to prevent fast traffic, and that creates a lot of problems anyway. And I think having another house attached and reducing the amount of garden space, if you like, is not a good idea at all. So I will raise an objection on that basis.
Thank you very much. Does anybody else have any comments at all?
I'll second that.
Okay, so you have to second that. So have you got the grounds for that? Okay.
Are you happy with that one?
Yeah. Yeah, lots of parking.
Lots of parking.
And
overdevelopment
in terms
of infill level. Yeah. Okay, so proposing a second for objection. All those in favour? It's unanimous, thank you very much. Planning application 23-19611 full, 1 Coleridge Close. The conversion of an existing garage to family room and construction of a new storage area to the rear. Highways have been consulted, but uncommented. South West Water have been consulted and have issued their usual advice that the construction must comply with their requirements for asset protection. Do we all understand what that is? Just I'm not sure if... Do you just quickly want to explain that? Because that's something that comes up quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah. Bear with.
It's basically to make sure that where there are sewers and assets belonging to South West Water, that the construction process doesn't interfere with any South West Water assets.
Mm.
So... if there's a main sewer, then you might have to apply to have the sewer and the manhole cover moved if the proposed construction goes over any of their asset lines. That's essentially it.
Yeah.
We could circulate, couldn't we? We could circulate that afterwards separately.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's within a certain distance of the public sewer,
They have to
provide evidence that they're mitigating the impact, basically.
Yeah, thank you. That's fine, thank you.
Yeah. So it's just to protect their around the workings. Highways haven't been consulted but haven't commented. South West Water have issued this, as they usually do near any kind of major infrastructure. The Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2 applies. Councillor Tim Dunbar.
Thank you, Joe. Yes, I don't see a problem with this, and I would register no objection.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody else want to comment? I'm happy to second from the chair then, if there are no further comments. So, proposing a seconder for no objection, all those in favour? Any call? Planning application 23-19200 full. The Exmouth service station on 223 Exeter Road. This is for the installation of 1 jet wash bay, the relocation of the existing associated forecourt works to accommodate that. The Highways Authority has been consulted but not commented. The Environmental Health has been consulted but not commented, and is the same with East Devon Trees. This again is excellent aid of the planning policy DB2. So it's in done.
And in fact, there has been today, there's been registered an objection by the next door neighbour who has actually spoken with me as well. I noticed that the date limit for comments is again next time's meeting, the 9th of October. And I wondered, particularly in relation to the lack of any comment from the Environmental Health, that we ought to give them the chance to respond and then to see what they may have said, because bearing in mind what I've heard today, it sounds very much as if what they're doing with these various mechanical and electrical units is taking them right next to 221 Exeter Road, which is liable to create quite a lot of noise. And I know that the next door neighbour is very worried about that. So I think we should have some confirmation before we make any decision, if that's possible.
So we could defer it. We'll just have to make sure we get the comment in on the day of the next planning committee meeting, won't you?
It's on the 9th.
There is East Devon District Council trees have commented now, and they said they don't have any concerns. No arboricultural concerns, so they have commented.
So it's mainly the
environmental health. Are you happy for that?
Is everybody happy
defer
to do
that one?
Is this where they wanted to put in the charging points and everything, so the technical problem?
I think that's a different application.
It's the same
site.
We've had the application for the illuminated signage with the totem pole, and then we had the application for the EV charging points. And now we've had this one.
Just a brief explanation for Councillor Mike Rosson. The EV charging points are at the back, and they've taken the fence down, presumably taking some of those down. So that's more or less in. But the what we're talking about now is some of the machinery being transferred over to the sort of town end of the site, if you like, which is right next to a semi 221.
Okay, so we'll defer that if you're okay with that, because I know that creates a little bit of work for you next time, but that's cool. So now we move to Litlam, planning application 23-1667 full, 36 Berry Close, a proposed loft conversion, the dorm room, the north elevation, the weatherboarding and south elevation roof window. The housing ex-council house assistant programme works officer has been consulted but not yet commented, and highways have been consulted but also not yet commented. This excellent neighbourhood plan policy EB2 applies, and we have no objection from Councillor David Paul. Councillor Mike Rosser.
Yeah, no, I've got no objection. The neighbours, the only possible concern would be overlooking of neighbours, but it's objection so far.
Oh, Councillor Graham, did you?
Yeah, similarly, thank you, so I have no objection.
Okay, so we have a proposal and a seconder for approval. All those in favour? Thank you, that's unanimous. We now move to planning application 23-1864 full, 20 Regent's Gate, a dormer extension to the river property with cladding and northwest elevation side windows. The application form states that the structure for the rear dormer is permitted development, but planning consent is required for the cladding and side window. County Highways, Scouting Consulting and all comments. There are five representations, and this is tricky because if it is permitted development, some of these representations aren't necessarily valid. Concerns over the loss of privacy and the dormer extension is large and the property is in an elevated position. The proposed dormer would change the roofline and look out of place, and the proposed cladding is a variance to every other property in Regentsgate and would be out of keeping. So that part of it would be relevant, wouldn't it? Because it's to do with the cladding. Mm-hmm. There's one letter of support saying the cladding is in line with other dormers in Real Drive. It's all different colours, but it's tastefully finished. And rendering is not an option, so supports the cladding and supports the west window. Again, and actually quite poorly this time, the Eckland Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2 about being consistent with surrounding building styles. And the cladding is, Council David Paul says that the cladding is out of keeping with the road. So that's 2-1 on the is it, isn't it? So, Councillor Graham Bissey.
Mr. Royce, register an objection to this. One, the sentence is already in place, so this is presumably retrospective.
I don't think it's been built yet.
It's not complete, but it's
oh, really?
Yes, it is. Well, the photographs.
If
you want to see.
Is this permitted development?
What cited on the planning application form is that a lot of dormers are permitted development, especially rear dormers. That would be up to a planning officer to check that is permitted development. But according to the applicant, they are looking for consent to use weatherboarding, which isn't part of the permitted development rights, and also there's a window on the side that would also falls outside the criteria for permitted development. So if the information submitted is correct, we technically can only really comment on the cladding or on the window to the side.
I mean, I think it would be good to write a comment, just at the start of caveat everything with assuming that this is permitted development.
Yeah, I think that's fair to use, because it is very complex.
Yeah.
The permitted, we've got an application further on the agenda that will come up, but the permitted development rights is quite complex. It's quite heavily written. The interpretation of it is heavy reading.
So they're chanting a little bit that it is. So bearing that in mind, and they'll be commenting on the cladding and the weatherboarding. Because if it is permitted development, then they'll be told by ASEP, so we don't need to worry about that then necessarily.
Thank you for clearing that point. I wasn't quite sure. It is a substantial development. It is very high and does overlook properties that are relatively nearby. Get back to the actual structure itself. On that particular estate, there are no, that I could see away from the road, there are no other dormer windows at the moment, and there is no similar cladding to it. However, about 250, 300 yards away, on sort of a separate road, if you like, there are bungalows that have got dormer windows. They are not part of that estate, and that estate is built in a certain style, and those bungalows are not part of that estate, so they're dormer extensions. I think they get away with it in a sense, but this one is contrary to everything in its immediate surrounding area. I also think, whether privacy is an issue or not, there is an argument that if you like, the bedrooms of this particular house are sufficiently high because of the incline, but that they can actually look into other people's property. But this is an extension where people are going to sit and look out, as opposed to having perhaps a bedroom or a normally upstairs room, for want of a better expression. And therefore, I think there may be privacy issues. But it is a substantial piece of work, and I found that quite overbearing when I went down and sort of looked back up at it. So those are my reasons. That really is out of character as far as I'm concerned. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. So I think maybe more than just is this permitted development, but maybe some members here have questioned whether or not it is permitted development, I think. Councillor Mike Rosser.
Yeah, I agree with Councillor Deasy has said. It's very clear, although it's a rear door to the rear of the building, it's conspicuous from the very conspicuous, as soon as you get dropped down the main spinal road into the estate. They haven't made any attempt to complement the surrounding building style. I mean, even to, which is basically, the materials of brick, tile, and sort of white rendering. And the colouring of this cladding is a sort of modernistic grey blue. I mean, they could at least made it white to match the, try and attempt to match some of the local houses. I think all that old reason is predominantly pitch roofed, right? So I don't think there are any other factories on this day. It's very box like. It doesn't comply, in my view, it doesn't comply with EB2. It's overbearing to the houses further down the hill. There are actually 5 objections and 1 support statement. So, yeah, happy to support the objection.
Okay, thank you. So we'll object on the grounds that it doesn't fit with the local building styles, and also a large question mark over whether or not it should be permitted development, because there are some things that worry us about it. So we have a proposal and a second for objection. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Okay, now we move to the bit where I talk to myself. And this is going to be a really interesting chat I have with myself on this one. Planning application 23-1872 full. The Beacon Vaults, again, just over there. The proposal is for the erection of a three-story Georgian-style townhouse, the redevelopment of the site and a change of use to residential, and the demolition of the Beacon Vaults. So this is a revised version of a previous application, 22-2509 full, which was withdrawn due to concerns raised by the conservation officer that the heritage impact on the conservation area and in relation to the adjacent listed building. We had no objection to the previous application in principle. We felt that the proposed design was more in keeping than the existing mock Tudor frontage. However, the proposed 5-bedroom townhouses did not meet the identified housing need for affordable 1 or 2-bedroom units. In terms of the County Highways Authority, they have been consulted but have not commented. Conservation has been consulted but not commented. There's an interesting report from the Devon County archaeologist who says that the current building is early 20th century. The demolition and groundworks may expose historic fabric or archaeological deposits, and schemes will be set in place to investigate this and do any archaeological work before a new building is completed. One representation, and this is quite a strange representation, knowing what we know, because although the building looks really old, it isn't. It's actually quite a, in terms of the mock Tudor frontage, it is a mock Tudor frontage from not that long ago, comparatively, certainly wasn't in Tudor times. The representation objected to the loss of a historic building with no justification for the demolition, and also suggested that the last thing we need is mock Georgian houses, which I thought was quite ironic because it is a mock Tudor house, and at least the other houses there are Georgian. And it, This is Exmouth Neighbourhood of the Planning Policy EB1, which is... Conserve heritage assets, including traditional shop frontages and historic street furniture, and be compliant. Well, that's not relevant because there's not going to be a shop front anymore. And EB2, does it fit with surrounding building styles? Councillor David Paul says that as long as the archaeology report is agreed and subject to there being no adverse comments from the conservation officer, he is in. He has no objection. I personally think it's difficult because people remember it for what it was. It was, you know, it was a nice little pub. It was, you know, quite a community sort of minded place for a while. They talk about there's no justification for the demolition, I think I know that some council staff looked at the building maybe at some point and actually went inside, and it is in desperate need of some work. I mean, it's effectively condemned.
It's falling down,
it's
dreadful,
condemned.
Really dreadful.
And I think, so long, my personal view is pretty much the same as David Paul's, because if they want to build it, they will need to mitigate against any archaeological things there. If the conservation officer is fine with it and thinks that it is being built in a style which complements the rest, we don't need the change of use part of it. Isn't really an issue because it has been marketed for a long time, either as a pub or anything, so there's no issue with that. Does it fit in with the housing needs requirement? I think if we object to it, I don't think that the site will ever be redeveloped, and I think that's quite sad because it is just falling apart.
Yeah, I agree with yourself and Councillor Hall's views. It had its time with respect to the neighbours, with no interest in being redeveloped as a part of the restaurant. I think this is the next best thing. I think it's the actual plan looks fine, looks reasonably tasteful, looks in keeping to the layman's eye at this stage. I was just curious to know why they've got two kitchen diners on the ground floor. It's one property that they're going for. That's just a curiosity, I suspect. They'd be thinking about Airbnb or anything else, I'm sure. but other than that, no, I've got no objection at all to along the lines you've just outlined. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Do you have any other comments at all?
I do object. Bearing in mind the release of captured carbon. Is there a structural engineer's report saying it's falling down? Looks fairly intact to me.
It's dreadful inside. It is absolutely dreadful.
Well,
floor, it actually
I'm sure,
is unsafe
I'm sure
inside, I think.
I'm not an engineer,
yeah.
I think, but I can't see how, you know, even get a rocket to the moon, how you can't actually make that place structurally sound and convert it to housing. It's a mock tutor, is it? Sort of. It's part of Exmouth. The townscape is a bit quirky, it's a bit different. Replacing it with a pseudo Georgian building is not going to improve the area at all, I don't think, the townscape. So I object.
Okay, do you have any further comments at all? I think we're at this stage, subject to the. So we have a proposal and a second before approval. But I would suggest that's subject to conservation officer. Even if he was to come back and say, actually, it is something that's important to the town and the area, and the new thing doesn't fit it, then fine. So we do have a proposal and a second before approval. Subject to those conditions, all those in favour? All those against? Okay.
Just to say in your summary, were you including the subject to the archaeological
conditions?
Yeah,
definitely. Okay, planning application 23-1875-4, 108 Exeter Road. The proposal is for a loft conversion, including front elevation dormer, cladding and balcony, creating a flat roof. An approval for a rear roof dormer has already been granted under 20-20-83-4. A previous application for the front dormer, 20-09-464, was refused and upheld on appeal. The design and access statement states that national policy has now changed, allowing for the enlargement of a dwelling house by construction of additional stories using permitted development rights, and provides an example of a photo montage of what could be allowed. However, our interpretation of the permitted development legislation is that it would not be allowed because the property predates 1st of July 1948. The County Highways Authority has been consulted but not yet commented. Though, to be fair, I'm not really sure why they would comment on a dormer. But hey, this is Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2. And my, with no other representations, but my if the previous one was wasn't granted, sure there are, you know, small changes, but given that this isn't permitted development, I at this point I don't think I could approve it because I can't see it's the same thing effectively, isn't it?
I can't see. I mean, the inspector upheld the refusal on the basis that the dormer on the front was going to impact the roof line of a group of three terraced houses. The applicants are arguing that they could, under permitted development, put an extra story on, and they're trying to justify why they meet the criteria for permitted development. We don't think they do, because the property predates, and also it's a terraced house. And if it impacts on the visual roof line on a terrace, permitted development doesn't really apply. So I can't see that it will be acceptable visually.
That's what I thought, and it's not.
Because it's going to break the roof line of a terrace of three houses facing onto Exeter Road.
Yeah.
The other thing is that it looks as if they want a balcony, like a Juliet balcony, which normally isn't permitted under permitted development either. Normally that is a full planning application. If you want a dormer with a balcony, that's normally not permitted development. So
bearing that in mind, I propose objection. Councillor Tim Dunkler.
I second that.
Okay. Thank you very much. So proposing a second for objection. All those in favour, and you've got all of the reasons there. Thank you very much. We have no number 7 on the agenda, other items. We have a certification of lawfulness to establish the lawful commencement of application 23-1812 CPE. I can't remember what that stands for.
No, I can't remember what CP, but it must be something to do with the
letter from East Devon District Council regarding the above application, asking if there's any information that either supports or contradicts the evidence submitted.
Just have a quick look. I can't remember.
If we could explain what this is about
the use of the place.
Yeah. Whether it's been used in the manner that they say it has.
I've just had a look at the CQC books, they go back over 10 years. So it's been, seems to be.
Yeah, that's fine.
10 years has to be
disagreeable. I don't have an issue with it. I don't think that's evidence enough, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lawful development certificate application for an existing use.
I don't know what CPE is, but it is a
a lawful
certificate of,
permitted
something or
permitted
excellence. Permitted. I don't know.
What is it saying? CPE.
Certificate planning.
Contingency planning.
So basically, they want to know if it's being used as they say, as the applicant says it is, and it is. So I don't have a comment. I mean, it says, is there any information either supports or contradicts evidence submitted? And Mike has rightly said that there are that there is evidence on the CQC website. So.
Yeah,
so
it's
with them,
all we're being asked is if we have any evidence that contradicts or supports the application.
Yeah.
So. It's a bit difficult.
Yeah, we don't effectively. Okay. Shall we leave
the
that?
Application is for the 4 bungalows.
No, this is for.
Or are we getting confused?
Yeah, no, I'm a bit confused. So can
I
think
the application. Sorry, Chair.
No, that's fine.
I thought the application was for 4 bungalows on the grounds of Linksway. But the building work had technically started because they dug out a shovel's worth of foundation. And that is in situ, but that's also within the 3 years or since the planning application.
Yeah, I think they have to,
I was a bit confused as to what they're asking the commission for, because technically the work had started within the time frame. It looks like they want to get on with the work now. And Linksway, as Michael has said, has been there for, in that capacity, well in excess of 10 years. So I confess to being a little bit ignorant and a little bit confused as to why they were asking.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Yeah, the development hereby permitted should be begun before the expiration of 3 years from the date of this permission. So what they're trying to demonstrate is that the work has been carried out, or they've made
Church
a start. So, but just by digging a hole, that means retain their application.
Yeah,
I don't have to resubmit.
Okay, well, I mean, if they dug a hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't need to comment, is that?
No.
Or we can just say that
unless we've got evidence to say that they haven't dug a hole.
Yeah.
I think.
Presumably, somebody wants to object and they've got some evidence and they should send it in.
Yeah. But that's just like we're being asked to comment on something.
We none of us know.
Yeah. Okay, so. Item 8 is items for information. There are none. No information is available today. Item 9 is the planning decisions from East Devon District Council. And they agreed with us on all of them. We got 1, 2, 3, 4. We got 6 out of 6 in the planning test. So that brings this evening's meeting to a close. Thank you very much for your attendance.